journey in Revelation 6, dealing with, we dealt with the horseman on the horizon. And boy, the more I see the news going on and the things happening in our world, it's almost like you can hear those horsemen galloping right now. Everything is set in place. There's so many shortages going on around the world. They're telling parents right now that some of the popular toys for Christmas, they'd better go ahead and order it now because there's going to be a shortage of them. I don't know what the popular toys are. I have no idea. So I guess cash will always work, but maybe not for the little bitty ones, but for the older ones it will. But, you know, if there's a shortage of toys, that means that probably many of the important things, there's a bigger shortage on them than we realize. And there's so many things that are happening that we don't even understand. We don't know right now. And never fear, neither does Joe Biden. He has no idea what's going on. Susan Rice is doing a horrible job as president of the United States. And as she manipulates behind the scenes, or Barack Obama, or who is really running this whole thing, I have no idea. It's evidently not Kamala Harris. I saw a YouTube video this afternoon, just a blip of it, and it said Joe Biden and Kamala Harris stepped down. And I thought, oh my, you know who that means is the president? Nancy Pelosi. You talking about falling into worser and worser times. I hear people crying and say, well, Joe Biden ought to be impeached, but look at the next two down the list. It's not a pleasant thought. It's amazing what all's going on in our land right here before our very eyes. I'm glad I'm a Christian tonight. I may go through some things, but the storm will pass by. Now, the storm may kill you. The storm may take you home. It may drench you. It may do all of those things. But there's a better place on the other side. Don't think for a moment, though, that you and I are promised peace and prosperity and safety all the time. God may take some of His believers through some very difficult times, and it could happen in just really in a blink of an eye, and things could change. Christians, we need to be in prayer regularly. Deep, fervent prayer for our nation and for other believers. Well, let's read tonight. Oh, goodness, I don't want to read the whole chapter. Well, let's begin in verse number 9. Verse number 9 of chapter 6, Revelation. We've dealt with the first four seals have been opened. We'll see the next two seals will be opened here and some things that are happening. And we've entitled this Prayer During the Tribulation. Prayer During the Tribulation. Oftentimes we think of during the tribulation as a time where there are no churches and no Christians. There may not be any organized gatherings like this, but there are going to be people trusting Christ left and right. Literally, there are going to be millions of them. Many of them will die for their faith. Verse number 9, the Bible says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." I have that underlined in my Bible. And I thought about this. When the difficult time comes, how many believers today are going to be willing, how many so-called believers today are going to be willing to hold the testimony even if they're threatened with death? These believers died because of the testimony they held. The word held there means to hold with a very strong grip. Verse number 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season. Just a little while. Until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. God has a purpose and a plan for all things that are happening. Verse number 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Let me stop right here. We are not in the tribulation right now. I've heard that recently. We are not in the tribulation. You won't, but the world will know when the tribulation starts. There will be no doubt about it. Christians will be taken up. Total chaos, not just the chaos we've got going on right now. Total chaos will happen and all of that. We're not, but we could very well be on the footsteps of or the doorstep of the tribulation, or it could be another 500 years. But we're still going to be ready no matter. So, says, and I beheld, when he'd opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Notice verse 13, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. They're going to have an awful hard time explaining these events, those that are still alive. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The tribulation period is broken down into two distinct portions. You have the tribulation, you have the great tribulation. As we read through the book of the Revelation, it's not always chronological. You begin to see here these last two seals take place in the latter part of the great tribulation. So these events are kind of jumping forward a little bit in time. In the last study, we looked at the wars and the famines and the pestilences came upon the scene. And now in verses 9 through 11, I think we've already covered this, but I'll give it to you just very quickly. We see the tribulation saints in peace. In the midst of everything, the tribulation saints that have given their lives for the cause of Christ are resting in heaven and they're praying before God. I've said this before. Don't think for a moment that the saints that have gone on have stopped praying for the things happening on this earth. They are still invested in it. They're still concerned in what's going on in your life and in my life. Those that love us, loved us, that have gone on before, they're still praying that God would use us. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe God hears their prayers just like He hears our prayers. And all God's people said, I mean, just because you change places and you move to heaven doesn't mean you stop praying. They can see the events that are happening here. I don't know how much they see, but evidently they can see enough of what's going on. And they're praying even during the tribulation. These tribulation saints that have died for the cause of Christ, they're praying and they're saying, Lord, will you send judgment? Will you go ahead and complete the deal? Will you go ahead and wipe out our enemies? They gave the ultimate sacrifice. In verse number 9, notice the word, the phrase, it says, for the testimony which they held. Their sacrifice was this. They decided to hang on and not reject Jesus Christ in the face of tribulation. I hate to use that word over and over again, but it is personal tribulation. At great threat of violence to them, they would not recant. Now, I believe God has to give a certain amount of grace to that, because as much as some of us would say, man, I'd like to be able to stand and not, I believe in our old human flesh, we'd be weak as anything and we'd give up and we'd, yep, whatever. But I think the Holy Ghost of God empowers the saints of God during times like these. Amen? And so we see that. And then we see their supplication. They're interceding, but they're not interceding for peace. They're interceding for judgment. They're going back to the Old Testament. And I gave you a word a couple weeks ago, Brother Wendell, and Wendell wrote it down, and he has memorized this word. this is a good old word that we use probably two or three times a week. It's called imprecatory prayer. How many of you guys have used that in a sentence last week? Amen? All right. But what that is that's the prayer that is calling for evil to befall a person. And that's what this prayer is. By the way, that's what some of the prayers in the book of Psalms are. Be careful, modern day saint of God, of reading the Psalms and praying some of those prayers. Amen? Because the Bible, Jesus, changed things for us. We're no longer to pray, "Oh God, smite my enemies with boils upon every inch of their flesh." No, that's not what it says. Love your who? Love your enemies. Amen? So there are certain times that it is kind of refreshing to say, "Lord, will you just take a sword and wipe out my enemy? My enemy's my neighbor. He's been stealing my trash can. And God, will you just smite him with a sword? If not, will you smite him with boils upon his body?" See, doesn't that feel much better? No, the Bible says love your enemy. How many of you just have a hard time with that sometimes? Amen? It's like, really? I don't even like my enemy. God, there again, God empowers us to fulfill his will in our lives. But these saints of God, they are praying back. By the way, the age of grace is over. Age of grace is over. This prayer right here is evidence of that. Now, people are still getting saved. Millions of people. I heard a preacher years ago, he said he believed that everybody that got saved during the tribulation eventually gave their life for the cause of Christ. Now, I don't know if I could adamantly say that, but evidently a bunch of them do. A bunch of them do. But you notice in the midst of all this, they're crying out. Verse number 10, they cried with a loud voice saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" But notice the satisfaction that God has given. Verse number 11, "And white robes were given unto every one of them." White robes. And then he's telling them, "You rest for a little season." Just a little season. Just a little while. So we see where we've seen the tribulation saints at peace in prayer. But then number two, Amber, I want to get to Roman number two. I want you to see probably my favorite part of this, the tribulation sinners in panic. Amen? The tribulation sinners in panic. Look at it with me in verse number 12. "I beheld when it opened the sixth seal." I want you to imagine with me now. The Lamb of God opening up that sixth seal. John the Revelator is standing there with a great crowd. And it says, "And lo, there was a great earthquake." If the Bible calls it a great earthquake, how big of an earthquake is that? It's got to be massive. I looked up the word great in the Greek language, and it said great. So it didn't help me any, all right? Large, big, great earthquake. But notice this. "The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." And then we see the stars of heaven fell onto the earth. Could we say that the universe is in turmoil at this point? Could you imagine? Imagine, these verses describe a universe that is caught up in a terrible cataclysm. Destruction is everywhere. Earthquakes will rip through the earth with devastating power. Great clouds of dust and ash will go up, and it'll literally darken the sun. Can you imagine? Global cooling will happen then. This earth is no stranger to earthquakes. In 2004, was it 2004? Yes, December 2004 was the year that the big tsunami hit. And it created, there's a great earthquake in the ocean, but it created the tsunami that pushed in on several of those nations over there. And within a few short hours, over 300,000 people had perished. In some places, the water pushed in on the land, and it hit the land at a speed of over 500 miles an hour, and the wave was 60 feet tall. Can you imagine the power of that? In 1811 through 1812, a series of great earthquakes in Arkansas rearranged the landscape of the area. It caused the rivers to change their courses, and it filled the skies with dirt and ash for several months. That was just not, say, recent history, but more recent. 1980. How many of you remember Mount St. Helens and that? Wow. And, you know, all of, like, you go over to the Creation Museum and they've got books, they've got videos about it, and all of that. And it was just something. So I wrote down a couple of things about it. And May 18th, 1980, Mount St. Helens in Montana erupted. The eruption was triggered by a violent earthquake as the summit and the north slope of that volcano slid down her sides. Pressure was released inside the volcano. The northward-directed steam explosion released energy equivalent to 20 million tons of TNT. It toppled 150 square miles of forest in 6 minutes. That's just one. Just one. The total energy output, oh, by the way, a 1 cubic mile wide rock slide hit Spirit Lake, and whenever it did, it splashed the water up and it stripped trees off of the mountainside up to 850 feet above the water level. That's just one, Mount St. Helens. When Tina and I were out west, I had put it on one of my things. I wanted to go there, but we just didn't make it. In Winslow, Arizona, don't worry, I'm not going to sing a song about it, but in Winslow, Arizona, there is a meteor crater called the Barringer Crater. And the Barringer Crater was formed when a meteor between 90 and 150 feet in diameter, by the way, that's not that big, it slammed into the earth. That single impact of one meteor, about 100 feet in diameter, it left a crater 4,000 feet across, 2.5 miles in circumference, and 550 feet deep. One. We're reading about events that are 1,000 times worse. I'll tell you one more, right? In 1908, in Siberia, a meteor fell to the earth. This one was estimated to be about 180 feet in diameter. When it hit, it flattened trees within a 25-mile radius. That's how powerful the impact was. The impact was so powerful that in London, England, they felt the tremors of it. That's one meteor. Think of the power of it. All of that is being held together by Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that over in Colossians. Note the verses now. Let's read them again and think with all that in mind. Verse number 12, I beheld when it opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. The heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together. Notice this. Every mountain and island were moved out of their places. There is no stability. Men have navigated by the stars for millennia. You know why? Because they've always been there. The North Star has always been the North Star. It doesn't move. It's just there. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west. The moon rises and all of those things happen. But God's going to shake up the very foundations of the things that men thought were forever. Those things that men trusted in, they believed in, they put all their hope in. And I've heard people say, well, no matter, the sun's going to rise tomorrow. Well, there's coming a day that it may not. When God shakes His whole thing up. Now, the Bible doesn't say anything about this. But whenever you begin to darken the sun, whenever you begin to take the the moon out of its rotation properly, whenever the stars begin to fall, what's going to happen to the atmosphere of the earth? There's going to be catastrophic things happening here. Men will die of maybe heat, maybe of freezing temperatures. There's no telling all of that. We see in verse number 15, as all of this happens, we see the sinners now, the lost men, the ones that are still rejecting God. Can you imagine? After all of this is going on, men will still raise their fist and hate God. You think they'd be running to Him. But what it'll do to those that hate God, it'll just deep seat root that even farther down. And they'll blame Him for every death. Can you imagine CNN and news coverages at that time, if there's any of that? Because you go to messing up the atmospheric conditions, and there's going to be so much of all of this global satellite, right? Global satellite positioning. If you move one star, it's all messed up. Radio, you know, men will basically be in the dark in so many different ways. Power grids will be down. The preppers will be the only ones that will be ready. Maybe somebody will find my little basement with, you know, I've got 952 days of food and water stored in it and ammunition and all that. So maybe it'll help somebody. But there's a lot of gospel tracts in there too. Amen. All right. So the unconverted in terror. Look what's going on. I'm joking, by the way. All right. Verse number 15. I didn't want that to go out over the internet. Verse number 15. The kings of the earth. Notice everyone. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich man. The rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bond man, every free man, what do? They hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. We see the kings, these are the rulers, the great men are the governmental leaders and men of power. Rich men are those who control the wealth of the world. What good is wealth going to do whenever stars are hitting the earth? Honestly, can you imagine the dollar's really going to crash? Nothing's going to be worth anything. Mighty men are the celebrities and those with influence and power, those that actually think they have it. Bond men and free men alike are affected, just the common man. When God's wrath is finally poured out on this world, men will be reduced to the same level. Fear will be the word of the day. Fear. Notice what they see. They see as a universe literally convulses. Astronomic upheaval. Men will see everything that they've ever considered stable and permanent. Have you ever heard of, oh, that's as old as the mountains? And all of a sudden the Bible says every mountain and island were moved out of their places. I had somebody ask me one time, they said, what do you think that means? I think it means every mountain and island were moved out of their places. I don't know how to explain that. But can you imagine the complete shift? The ships that are out on the ocean. The earth that has always been there and is always stable to be shaken. The sun and the moon and the stars are always there. They'll be taken away. For thousands of years, men have worshipped the earth and the sun and the stars and all that. They've staked their hopes on, we're going to Mars, they say. They're aiming at it, but God moves it. What happens then to SpaceX? Right on out. Well, we missed Mars. How'd you do that? It moved. Amen. Not just everything. Nothing is stable. And that's really what you need to get out of this. What God's showing everyone in the world, everyone's left, everything that you trusted in is unstable. There's only one thing in this entire universe that is always stable and remains the same, and that's God Himself. And what they say, notice what they say. In verse number 16, it said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. You know what they're saying? Kill us. Kill us. Oh, here's the sad thing. These kings and great men and rich men and captains and mighty men and the bondmen and the freemen, here's what they're thinking at this point. The devil still deceived them. They're thinking, death has got to be better than this. No, it's not. Because when the rocks fall on them, God does answer some of their prayers, I guarantee you. When the rocks fall on them, they take their last breath. And they immediately are transported to hell. I guarantee you they wish, oh, wish I was back there. They have denied Him and His Son while they've embraced Satan and his false Christ. These are the ones that proudly took the mark of the beast. By the way, the vaccine shot is not the mark of the beast. Whenever you get the mark of the beast, you'll know it's the mark of the beast. It'll be the code that we'll need to buy and sell. Now, I do think that maybe the vaccine card is a precursor for that. You know, they're just setting us up for so many things. They run to the rocks and dens and the caves of the earth to find refuge. What are they hiding from? They're not really hiding from the earthquake. They're not hiding from the stars. They're hiding from God. You know what God's showing them? There's no place you can hide from me. I put this in my notes because I read it. One, I think it was a lady writer, she said this. She said, folks, the evolutionists have sold this world a bill of goods. Cavemen are not in our past. Cavemen are in our future. Amen. They run to the caves. Our houses are collapsing. They run to the caves. So, yep, cavemen. They want to hide themselves from the face of God and from Jesus. Here's a strange statement, though. Notice verse 16. They said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne. They recognize God. Amen. They won't receive Him as Savior, but they recognize Him. But here's a strange phrase. And from the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. There's probably no animal more tender, more gentle than a little lamb. But these big, powerful men want to be delivered from the wrath of the Lamb. There are two words in the New Testament that are translated wrath. One is the word thumos, and it refers to a sudden outburst of anger. Like whenever you smash your finger in the door, thumos. Or your wife backs into the building or whatever. Or you do. It's like a shotgun blast. It's over in a moment. Bang. The other word is the word O-G-E. I can't even pronounce it. But it speaks of an anger that rises like water rises against a dam until the dam breaks and the flood suddenly comes over. God has held His anger for 6,000 plus years. And the water of His wrath has risen against the dam of mercy. And that dam is at the bursting point. That's the wrath that's here. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm on the other side of that wrath. Amen. I'm glad I'm not in front of that. By the way, I don't believe God takes any joy in this. This is not the world He created. This is not the world that He wanted. The wages of sin is death. And sin destroys everything. And what they sense is this. Verse number 17 says, "For the day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand?" You know what they realize? Their time is up. Their time is up. And they're about to face the undiluted wrath of Almighty God. Can I show you one more sad thing here? The earthquake's happening. Stars are being moved. Sun is blackened. Moon is turned to blood red in color. Islands are moved out of their place. Mountains are flattened. Verse number 16, notice again. "Now they hide themselves in the rocks, in the dens." And notice who they pray to. In all of this, notice who they pray to. "And they said to the..." In verse number 16, notice this. "And they said to the mountains and rocks." These men, when they begin to pray, they don't pray to God. They call on the natural world. That's where their faith is at. There's no cry for grace or mercy from God. There's no confession of sin. There's only desire to be free from wrath, even in the midst of judgment. Lost sinners are still selfish and unchanged. Last slide here. As we go through this, realize the saint's prayer will be answered and the sinner's prayer will not. There's no hiding from the wrath of Almighty God. The martyred saints in heaven are praying for God to judge sin. The lost sinners on earth are praying to be delivered from the unflinching gaze of God. I guess there's probably no place in Scripture that this next principle I'm about to tell you is laid out any more clear. It's either grace or it's wrath. One or the other. There's no in between. Oh, let us pray for God's hand of mercy to hold back His wrath for a little while we continue to serve Him. Amen. I hate ending on such a, man, what a terrible time. Amen. Jesus is coming, and it's not going to be good news for a lot of people. Let's share our faith with somebody this week. Amen. Wonder what song did you have for the singing at the end?